never let you down. I'ma shine on sight. Keep your mind on your grind and off of mine's alright. Hard, I'ma ball, don't know squares. I float a $250,000 cars everywhere I go. I know in the lead it may seem me might be, but no matter what they doing, they don't do it like me. Like a G, I hold it down for the town.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
It's the Urban Sports Scene coming through your speakers. Real T, Wally, and I, we in the building. And what is the world coming to, dog? Before we came on just now, I saw a video of a 24-year-old in Toledo, Ohio, beating up on a Mickey D's worker because they told her it was breakfast. And she wanted nuggets. She got out of the car in the drive-thru and started beating on the drive-thru worker.
Was she fat?
No. She was a skinny girl, and she's only 24. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning. She wanted chicken nuggets and went off. Matter of fact, she tried to order them. They told her no. She still said, I want nuggets, drove around to the window.
Not to be racially funny, was she black or white?
She was Caucasian.
Wow. White people like chicken too?
processed chicken, though. I mean, I just thought it was crazy. I was watching it, and she threw a beer bottle at the window afterwards.
Oh, chicken and beer.
Yeah,
she got locked up.
She must have some black in her.
I think so.
She got locked up afterwards, and it was reported that she had a mental disorder, but anxiety, they say. Does anxiety make you go off about chicken nuggets?
I know, chicken and beer. Anyway,
that was Toledo, Ohio. Either LeBron's decision, you know, got folks going crazy, or them nuggets are just that good. But let's get started with a quick rundown of all the big sports stories. Speaking of LeBron James, he's set to face the Cavaliers on December 2nd. Fellow teammate Chris Bosh, he's going back to Canada on February 16th. Anything meaningful about that?
Not just two arrows that two other organizations are going to take that from the hands of the Miami Heat. That's all.
And neither one of them contending can compete against the Heat, so I really don't care.
Also in regards to the Heat, Jeff Van Gundy seems to think that they will shatter all records and have no competition.
I agree. I think that the Miami Heat, on paper, is stacked. They have shooters, and they have two good one-on-one players.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot. I mean, it's conceivable for them to go surpass the Bulls record, but you also have to take into consideration their travel schedule and things like that, injuries. So I think that they'll probably win 70 games. I don't think they'll break the Bulls record.
Changing gears to baseball, since our last show, A-Rod finally blasted number 600, and Toronto's Brandon Morrow struck out 17 and nearly had a no-hitter against the Rays.
In terms of A-Rod, 600 is an accomplishment, and he's the youngest player to ever do it. So big ups to A-Rod.
Buck Showalter is also off to a 6-1 start with the Baltimore Orioles.
I told Fish, you know what I mean? I told Fish that the Orioles had potential, and luckily Buck Showalter's doing the right bomb, and they look like they're on the come up.
NFL news, preseason got kicked off this past Sunday with T.O. nabbing two balls. Oh, that sounds
no homo.
Yeah, no homo. My bad. That sounds bad. And our big man Albert Haynesworth passed his test finally, so he's practicing. We glad to hear that. In other news, not related to sports, former Idol winner Fantasia has been hospitalized after an overdose amidst a divorce scandal that she's currently involved in.
She's popping pills. Times is tough. She couldn't read. Now she popping pills.
But you heard about the divorce thing, right?
Fill me in.
It's a couple getting divorced, and her name is in there as the mistress of the guy, and it's not Ruben.
I just heard that she's getting stressed out with the media. That's what I heard.
Anyway, and starting this month, college students will be able to gamble on their grades. I mean, where was this when we was in college?
I was playing Tunk, so I was doing my Tunk.
MySpace?
Yeah, Tunk.
Yeah, it's a website called Altrinistic, I think, or Altrinsic, actually. And they're taking wages on grades from students at 36 colleges. It's in Las Vegas. This website is based.
This is great.
That's a great thing.
Altrinsic will pay you top dollar for A's, a little less for more than likely outcome of a B average or better, and so on. You can also wager if you fail a class by buying what Altrinsic calls a grade insurance.
Dang, that'd been great for me. Because Lord knows my sophomore year was a bunch of failing.
Y'all crazy, man. Lastly, people are still having negative feelings regarding Will T's favorite show, Basketball Wives. A critic just came out recently and said they should have called it The Secret Life of Bees.
William, do you have anything to say about that?
No comment.
I don't know what the B stands for, but I mean, it is what it is.
Exactly.
Well, on that show, you know, it was mainly spouses of former players. And speaking of former players, we were going to have some comments that were made by Steve Francis when we come back from commercial break.
Hey, what's up? It's your man Ray Rogers of the Urban Sports Scene. And recently, Will T and I set out on a mission to see what the people think of our show. All right, there's Mike Wilbon right there. Wilbon, what you think of our show, dog?
I should say the next It's the Big Thing.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up, man. We feel the same way. Coach Rivers, Doc Rivers. There's Doc Rivers. Go ahead, Will T. Get an interview with him.
Coach Rivers, how do you feel about Ray no longer being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I mean, Ray, he was absolutely sensational.
Yeah. I feel the same way, man. I thought I was great as the host, but it's all good. Big up to my man, Fish. There's Alvin Gentry, man. Coach Gentry. What you think about Fish being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I've always been a big fan of his.
Oh, so you familiar with him before the Urban Sports Scene when he was host of the Mac Fish Show?
So no, I'm not saying that, okay? No.
So what are you saying? Anyway, man, let's move on. There's President Obama. Obama, my man Will T here, he dissed World Cup, man. What you think about him dissing World Cup?
He's a jackass.
Keep it locked to the Urban Sports Scene, because you never know who's listening.
Urban Sports Scene is back. We got some comments made by Steve Francis. He basically was saying he's the best, or most talented, I should say, player from the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. And he listed some names: Kevin Durant, Michael Beasley. I don't know who the best player is from D.C. Maybe we can kick that around. What's your thoughts?
I think in terms of talent, it's Kevin Durant. He averages about 26 points a game. Steve Francis never worked hard, so I don't see how he could – I mean, he never worked hard to the latter part of his career, so I don't see how, in terms of consistency, I don't see how he can say he's the greatest, at least the most talented player in the D.C. area. Matter of fact, Kevin Durant, what he said on Twitter was that he respects Steve Francis, basically, I'm paraphrasing, but he wants Steve Francis just to show some support, for Beasley and himself.
I agree with you, Wally. I think that Durant is by far the most talented player to come out of D.C. in a long time since Len Bias. There's one guy who I think talent-wise surpasses Durant and Steve Francis that came out of this area, and it's Kurt Smith, who played at Georgetown. If you ever seen him play at the Goodman League, if you ever seen him play at the Kenner League, you ever seen him play at the Urbo Coalition, anyone who's ever seen him play, everyone knows the guy's the most talented player to ever come out of this.
DeMar Johnson was like that to Urbo, too, as well.
Yeah, DeMar Johnson was good, but, you know, he didn't put in that hard work.
To me, the best player in the D – I mean, actually, let me retract my statement. The best player, honestly, to me in the DMV, period, is Allen Iverson.
Well, does that count?
I mean, it's the DMV. I mean –
You mean Georgetown or do you mean Virginia?
DMV is still DMV. Virginia is part of the
well,
DMV.
Well, that's Northern Virginia.
That's the tri-water area. You can make the argument that you can include Iverson and guys like that that played down in that area because they came up here every summer. They came up here and played ball. Mm-hmm. So you can make that case.
That's true.
It's the closest big city. Actually, my whole opinion is there is – I mean – Steve Francis, Kevin Durant, they're still kind of young to be considered the best ever. Mm. Len Bias is still the best from this area.
Oh, yeah,
Hands down, absolutely.
I've never seen him. I didn't grow up in terms of that time frame watching basketball to that extent, so I never really truly saw Len Bias play. But just off of respect and how a lot of people have spoken highly of him, I can only just, you know, out of respect, say that he's the best.
Well, go ahead. Let me retract your statement, right? There is a guy from the came out of D.C. area by the name of Elgin Baylor.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, he's a great ball player,
he's
too.
He's one of the greats. That's true.
Well, on a national level, people usually include Baltimore when they talk about D.C., so they include Sam Cassell.
Carmelo Anthony, Rudy Gay.
Right.
Players.
Adrian Dantley.
Adrian Dantley.
Which is part of Maryland, if you think about it. But you know Baltimore and D.C.
We're totally
separate. So you can't include them. Andrew Dantley, he's in the mix. Victor Page, believe it or not, for those of y'all who live, you know, outside of this area, Victor Page is highly touted around this area.
So is Lawrence Moten.
Lawrence Moten, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Before there was Jerry... Jerry McNamara. That was long. Well, Steve Francis, he went to Maryland. Speaking of the Terps, Chris Jenkins of the Jets, he made some comments about Maryland football recently, basically saying they were going to be bad. I mean, but he actually said he would still support them. He interestingly sounded upset to see Debbie Yao, the AD, leave. And most people around here, including Gary Williams and Ralph Friesen, were happy to see her go.
Happy is an understatement.
So is that the main is that the main reason why he's upset? Because I'm not really familiar with the story.
Well, he felt like the reason why you're not familiar is because he made these comments exclusively on the radio.
Okay.
I've been listening to a lot of radio. We'll get there eventually. But now he basically was asked, you know, are you going to support your Terps this year? What do you think they're going to do? Make your prediction. He said, well, it's going to be a tough year, but I love my team. I'll support them. But losing Debbie out was a stab in the heart. And I was shocked. I haven't heard any comments like that about her, period.
Yeah, to piggyback what you said, Ray, I haven't heard anyone except for Chris Jenkins talk positively about her.
Yeah, I mean, well, we obviously love our city, y'all, but when we come back, we're going to go around different area codes, so keep it locked.
Hi, this is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
We've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
Different area codes. Bro, I hated that song.
Now you thought I was
beast. That was like
T.I., man. You know, T.I.'s all over the show, though.
We got to inject a new Atlanta artist, man.
Nah.
Yeah.
He's kind of a clown. Anyway.
No, he's not. Go ahead.
We want to go to some different area codes, explore what's going on, what's the biggest sport news in different cities. And Will T, he's going to kick it off. He went to Miami, not literally. I know we all wish we could. Wally just came back from Miami.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice over there. Restaurant's expensive though.
And of course,
most definitely.
Oh man.
Oh my bad. Yeah, Emerald.
Yeah.
Emerald. I like Emerald. Anyway, we're not doing Food Network this week. Hey, shout out to Fish, man. Hey,
shout out Martha Stewart.
Hey, man, we miss
company.
You, man. Fish isn't in. I didn't even mention Fish so far. We going kind of quick tonight, you know. But anyway, Will went to Miami and also Philly. You know, he's a huge Eagles fan. So go ahead.
Yeah, and Philly, the buzz around Philly and Philadelphia is the Eagles. Today, supposedly there was a fist fight between DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin during the 7-on-7 drill that got a lot of people stirred up and have some people worried about if the Eagles' morale during this camp. They said that Andy Reid's done a lot of hitting, which he traditionally has always done during training camp. The Eagles have had one of the more physical camps in the NFL. Also, in Miami news, it's interesting. I'm sorry.
It's all good. Go ahead, though.
It's interesting because the big buzz in Miami now is, even though it's football season starting, it's basketball. Traditionally, Miami has always been a football town. You think about it, Miami, the U, and you think about the Dolphins back from the Marino days. But now with LeBron and Chris Bosh joining the Heat, only thing you're really hearing out of Miami is the buzz about when is the regular season going to start for the Heat. Excuse me, not when the regular season starts, when the Heat are going to bring an NBA championship to Miami. So that's the news from Philadelphia and Miami.
Yeah, obviously, it's in, like you said, it is interesting, man.
Yeah, very.
Maybe
very.
What you said wasn't the most interesting, but we wanted to go to some different area codes, man. See what's being discussed, and that's how I was able to come across those earlier Chris Jenkins comments. And speaking of Chris Jenkins, the Jets, they're on Hard Knocks right now. It's a lot of buzz, a lot of people out there. I was listening to New York radio, two live stools from ATL. They're out there, and the big talk is Revis, obviously. But the consensus was last week that Revis was coming back. At some point, everybody knew he was going to either get his contract or he was going to play through it. But recently we heard the owner of the Jets come out and saying Revis looks like he's going to sit out a whole season, a la Sean Gilbert, who he's related to. I don't think that's a good decision. Sean Gilbert didn't come back the same. Neither did Joey Galloway when they set out for
the
entire
season. Do have to remember one thing about Sean Gilbert. Sean Gilbert, when he did sit out and got traded and was traded to the Carolina Panthers, he also received the biggest contract for a defensive player at that time.
Oh, that's true.
It's all about money.
Well, Sanchez obviously is under a microscope. It's his second year. They're going to run the ball a little less, even though they brought in Thompson. But he's going to be a third down back, which he wanted to be. And obviously, Sproles took his spot out in San Diego. They have a talented team. Santonio Holmes is not even being mentioned on the radio or on news and press. Nothing. I mean, obviously, you got one side of New York, which is big on Giants.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Jets on the other side of New York. But also, what's the running back's name from USC? McKnight, right?
Yeah, Joe McKnight.
Joe McKnight.
Joe McKnight. I was going to say James McKnight. Thank you for helping me out.
No problem.
He's actually looking real good, and he could get more reps than what we expected.
Wow. So, basically have three in the backfield.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sean Green.
Yeah, Sean Green.
He's Thomas.
Is he also, oh, is he? He's not going to split the curve?
So far.
So, okay.
So far, what I've been hearing. But, you know, the depth chart, which has been coming out recently for a lot of different teams, that's what we've been hearing, and it may not be final, obviously. And the defense, Chris Jenkins coming back. I just mentioned him. Everybody's excited. He's kind of overshadowing Revis because, you know, he's big, he's strong. Their up front is going to look real good. So, anyway, moving on to Atlanta, which I'm excited about because, you know, my Falcons, man. We're looking to go to the playoffs, man. Last year we had our back-to-back winning season. That was good. Let's get to the playoffs. Let's get back to the NFC Championship. Matt Ryan's looking awesome right now, just to let y'all know. It's nothing new, though. Y'all already know about Matt Ryan. The big stories, though, are the injuries. Mm-hmm. Dante Robinson. Everybody's a little nervous about him being hurt. He was held out of practice last week. He's back this week. Let's hope that he can stay healthy because with that coverage with him and on the other side, I'm not sure who's going to actually start.
What about Ty Hill?
We don't have Ty Hill anymore.
But you cut Ty Hill?
Yeah, Brent Grimes.
Oh, wow.
He was only there for the last year of his contract.
Okay.
Brent Grimes, I think, is going to start. I'm saying I don't know because the depth chart came out. Obviously, Brent Grimes, who has the most ability, he went to Shippensburg. He was not highly touted coming out of college. Nobody knows about him, but he's athletically a beast. If y'all seen the Saints game last year, that interception he caught, he got probably like 8 feet off the ground, man. But if we can get some pressure, which last year we didn't at all, Jamal Anderson's got to do better. I think this is his last year to prove himself. Nah, not that Jamal, not the Dirty Bird. While he's doing the Dirty Bird, if he can get some pressure, we'll be fine. Dante Robinson, he's a lockdown corner. Brent Grimes, he does his job. Pressure always helps. Interceptions, turnovers. Mike Jenkins is hurt. Him and Jarius Norwood are the two offensive stars that are hurt. Jarius Norwood is always hurt, man. Injury prone. I've been kind of disappointed with him. And Mike Jenkins, who's been consistent, and that's our number two receiver, like it or not, he's out for 4 to 6 weeks. Harry Douglas, we're hoping we'll step up because all we have behind him is Brian Finneran and Marty Booker. So that's what's going on at ATL right now. Optimism is high. Tony Gonzalez looks good as usual. He's a vegan just like me. So we all excited. Let's move on to L.A., though, or Oakland, my
Oak-town.
Bad.
Yeah, Oaktown. Oakland, I mean, believe it or not, due to a Maryland alum, they have optimism. Darius Hayward Bay. He's actually catching the ball.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so he's making progression. So they're happy with his progression. So, and he's fighting for a two spot. You okay over there, Will?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Man, he's surprised. I know,
right? So he's fighting for the two spot over there in Oakland. And believe it or not, also as well, you know, over here, we weren't happy with the guy. But in Oakland, they're happy with Jason Campbell. They think that him at quarterback could lead them to the playoffs. Because the AFC West is so weak, all you have is the San Diego Chargers. The Denver Broncos are going through a rebuilding phase, basically, and you have the Kansas City Chiefs that do not need to be mentioned at all because they're not really a successful football organization at the moment. That's and pretty much also. Sorry, I apologize. John Henderson too. They have it with John Henderson. He can help man the defensive front, and so with their decent cornerback play of Asamoah and Huff in the back. So I think Oakland is pretty much, like I said, they're optimistic they're going to have a good season.
Yeah, I haven't always been the biggest Jason Campbell fan, but for some reason, I'm hoping he does better than McNabb, because he got such a bad rap here in Washington, and all the different coordinators and coaches. It's unfortunate, man. I'm starting to root for him, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think because Jason Campbell over here had an unfair shake in D.C. He's not going to get the offensive line that Donovan McNabb is going to have the opportunity to play with now. Jason Campbell had to play with the makeshift offensive line, had to play with, like, 80 different offensive coordinators. So,
man. But, I mean, you know one thing he's not going to bring to the table, and that's personality.
Makeshift.
He's boring, dog.
Makeshift. I can't say makeshift.
Oh, makeshift.
It's a family show. It's a family show. I'm making sure.
Makeshift offensive line.
We know Jason Campbell is a boring personality, but what are they saying about Derek McFadden this year?
Oh, Derek McFadden, they're happy with him. He's fighting with Michael Bush for the starting position.
What?
Yeah, he's fighting with Michael Bush. But
wow.
But, you know, how politics are going to play out, he's going to pretty much get that starting job.
Okay. Well, what about the Redskins? I mean, I know they're here, but that's still your team. I mean,
You know, the big thing, like you were saying in Atlanta, but over here, the big thing is the depth chart. There's interesting individuals in terms of where they've been slotted in the depth chart. Willie Parker is a fourth string running back on the depth chart. Joey Galloway is a starter, so we have a 38-year-old wide receiver starting at that position.
So let me get this right: you have Joey Galloway and Santana Moss starting at
wide
receiver.
Exactly, you are correct.
What are they, both under 5'10"?
That's true. But they're starting. I'm just telling you, that's how the depth chart is played out right now. that's how it's played out right now. Malcolm Kelly and Devin Thomas are third string wide receivers at the moment.
So your two babies, as Redskins fans like to call them, are third string wide receivers.
Yeah, but
in terms of
talking about Malcolm Kelly and Devin Thomas, Shanahan has pretty much put out a formula in terms of how you came in terms of mini camp and judged it off that. It's not as if he doesn't believe, but in terms of who's come in more, who's worked out more, he's awarded them that opportunity to have the starting position at the moment. You still have to earn your keep in D.C. I mean, Albert Haynesworth is second string. We all know he's not going to be second string when the season starts.
Dallas Cowboy Blue. Sunday night, that first opening game is looking good for y'all right now.
It's not looking good, actually.
The Skins are looking very unorganized at this point.
No, actually, we are very organized. It looks good. It looks real good. When you have to fight for your position and have competition, you can't beat that. Competition brings out winners. Losers just take the slot.
Justin Tryon, a seventh corner. Chris Cooley can't catch a pass. Devin Thomas can't
catch. Chris Cooley can't catch a pass.
So far, that's what I'm hearing.
No, I'm not hearing that at all. I'm hearing that Carlos Rogers is looking the best he's ever looked. I'm hearing a lot of positive things.
That's not really hard.
All he has to do is catch the ball.
Exactly.
Well, he's catching him. He can always cover. He's got to catch it.
Like I said, I'm still going with the boys opening night. I hate to say it. McNabb's not looking good. The Skins going to prove something before anybody.
We got a good coach. We have a Super Bowl winning coach. So that's all we need. And hopefully that's going to get us to where we need to be at.
Dallas Cowboy Blue, tell all your Twitter followers. Go ahead, put it out on Twitter right now as you're listening. That the Cowboys have nothing to worry about over the night, though. At least right now. I may change my mind later.
You will change your mind.
John Beck looks good, too, by the way.
John Beck looks good. You're right. He does look good.
Anyway, when we come back, we're going to continue this NFL discussion, including the Hall of Fame and your feedback from Twitter and Facebook.
For the next few weeks, I'm responding to questions and comments that we've received from you, our listeners. Hi, I'm Dr. Griffin Rogers, bringing you Healthy Moments from the NIH. I'm the director of the National Institute of Diabetes, Digestive, and Kidney Diseases. A listener said, I'd like to know more about eating healthier when you have diabetes. Taking good care of yourself can help you feel better, and here are some healthy eating tips. Don't skip meals. For breakfast, try 2 slices of whole grain toast with a tablespoon of peanut butter or a hard-boiled egg or an ounce of low-fat cheese. Pack your lunch. Make a sandwich with turkey or lean beef. Use mustard or low-fat mayonnaise. Add fruits instead of chips. And choose a healthy mix of foods each day. And for more tips, visit our website, yourdiabetesinfo.org, or mymagicdc.com. This is Dr. Griffin Rogers. Join me next week for more Healthy Moments.
We blowing money fast on this settling. Catch up next to the truck. I think I'm Big Meech. Larry Hoover. Whipping work. Hallelujah. One Nation. Under God. Reason getting money from the upstart.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Team.
The urban sports scene is back, and it's a big week for us. I mean, we almost surpassing the 3,000 listener mark online. Wally, go ahead and let us know where we can be learned at.
Oh, you can hit us up at change.da.game6@gmail.com. Also, if you view our website, obviously it's http://walio.podbeam.com. Walio is spelled W-A-L-E-O. You can catch us on Facebook. Also, you can catch us on Twitter, just at Urban Sports Scene. In terms of blogs, if you want to see any of our blogs, reach us at www.urbansportsscene.blogspot.com.
Yeah, YouTube, iTunes, man, we're getting big. We're getting a lot of hits on Podbean, but also iTunes. And like I said, it's a big week for us, man. We're growing as a show. And all the castmates here, including Fish, we're in a wedding this week of our good homeboy out in Baltimore, man. So it's time to put these tuxedos on soon. We're going to try them on this week. It's been a whole lot going on with tuxedos.
I had to lose some weight because I think mine might be getting a little tight.
What I want to know is if it doesn't fit, like if it's too small, what are they going to do? Like, for real.
I have no idea.
I'm going to stretch that sucker out.
Nah, I'm not. I'm going to have to lotion my legs. I'm a little concerned. They talking about come out here and try it on, you know, before the wedding.
Oh, I mean, serious?
Yeah, that's what they told me on the phone.
Oh, wow.
But I don't see me going out there to go try it on before the wedding. I plan on picking it up the day of the rehearsal.
I feel like I should have that suit. It's 160. I should keep the suit.
Well, hey. Wow, $160, man. Shows you the urban sports scene is generating $0 at this point, dog. Hey, it is what
it's
is.
It's a recession.
Hey.
Everybody, bro. We're
going to be tweeting during the wedding, dog, telling y'all what's going on, our thoughts. We'll fill y'all in on that next week. But the big question on Twitter for us this week is, with all the Hall of Fame going on, the Hall of Fame game, the inductions, shout out to Russ Grimm, Emmett, and all the rest of them that got inducted. The question we have, though, is, should Randall Cunningham be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Will, you're an Eagles fan. Wally, you're a huge Randall fan. So I'm going to let y'all kick that off.
Should he be in the Hall of Fame? Absolutely, I think he should. And we also posted this question on Facebook. Tony Snow replied, "That's a tough one. The Hall judges everybody on rings and stats. Randall has some stats, but not like Marino or Elway." Also on Twitter, Dante Creighton replied, "Randall is the real prototype of the black quarterback. Moon and Williams were good, but he had longevity."
And matter of fact, a friend of mine, Tito Vasquez, he was like, "For what?" You know, basically saying like Randall doesn't deserve it. Like Will said, like me personally, I think Randall deserves to be in the Hall. I think there are a lot of quarterbacks that are currently in the Hall that their numbers aren't better than Randall Cunningham's numbers. Randall Cunningham has better numbers than Troy Aikman. The difference is Troy Aikman had a better. He's had more rings than him, but in terms of talent wise, Randall Cunningham was pretty much a one man band for most of his tenure in Philly.
I agree. Me being an Eagles fan since the late '80s, for me, the only viable offensive weapon that Randall had was Keith Jackson, essentially the tight end,
and
he was often
and fullback.
Yeah, both of them were often injured. Mm-hmm. You look at a guy like Aikman, who played with two other Hall of Famers, had the most dominant offensive line of that time, and then they also had a system that was kind of tailor-made to his strengths. Whereas Randall, a lot of the plays Randall made were out of the pocket. A majority of them were in the pocket, but some of the time he had to improvise.
I mean,
like one of my most favorite plays that Randall had was against the Giants. I think this was '87.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Banks was coming in from the blind side. He jumped. He tried to make a tackle. He tried to tackle Randall. Somehow Randall spun out of the tackle, got outside of the pocket, and flicked the ball. I think it was like 60 yards.
Yeah.
to a wide open Fred Barnett, I believe.
Yeah.
That just goes to show you the guy's skill set and also what he had to work with. He didn't have a lot to work with. The offensive line was horrible, and the skill players weren't that great.
I remember having my own random moment as well. It's pretty much similar to your story. I think he was playing against the Buffalo Bills, and I believe he was on the verge of being sacked. He scrambled all the way to near the, like, I want to say by the 1 yard line, or pretty much in the end zone, and he heaved it all the way to, I think, Calvin Williams at the time, heaved it all the way to Calvin Williams for a touchdown. Randall is, to me, is like the most, in terms of our era of watching football, with the Barry Sanders and the Steve Youngs and the Dan Marinos, is the most unappreciated superstar player in his era to me. Look at the numbers when you compare Randall Cunningham to Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman had 165 touchdowns and 141 interceptions. Randall had 207 touchdowns to 134 interceptions. Randall Cunningham is a two-time MVP award winner. Now nowadays we're talking about individuals like Kurt Warner, who played a short stint in the NFL. To me, is not true on longevity, really, and he's already considered to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. We have Randall Cunningham, who's played with less talent. Kurt Warner has been in situations and been in places where he's had a lot of talent. When he was with the Giants, he sucked.
Because he didn't have
nobody.
Talent.
He didn't have anybody. Randall Cunningham is one with limited talent. And then 1 year he had talent, he shattered records. That's very important to know about that.
Yeah, well, we'll get to kind of why Kurt Warner is considered a Hall of Famer and Randall isn't a little bit later in the discussion as far as Super Bowls go. But I think you guys are minimizing Fred Barnett, Irving Fryer. Did he have Chris Carter too for a while?
Chris Carter, when he was hopped up on drugs. That's a whole different situation.
He had a good defense.
He had a great defense.
Not good. He had a great defense.
Great defense. Offensive line was great, right?
I wouldn't say it was great. It was decent.
But I mean, you saying Fred Barnett and Calvin Williams were being good wide receivers. Calvin Williams.
I didn't say Calvin. I said Irving Fryer.
Irving Fryer. I mean, but those wide receivers aren't compared to any of the wide receivers in terms of some of these individuals that are already in the hall, like Michael Irvin. Steve Young had Jerry Rice.
Who did Trent Dilfer have when Baltimore won?
He had a dominating defense. That defense is totally different than the Philadelphia Eagles defense.
He also had Shannon Sharp.
I'm just saying. It's Keith Byers.
Like Shannon Sharp.
I'm just saying. He had the formula to win the Super Bowl.
I can't agree with that.
If you look at, okay, let's take Trent Dilfer. You want to make that argument. Trent Dilfer had a All-Pro left tackle. He had probably the greatest tight end that played football in Shannon Sharp. He also had Jamal Lewis, who was a very good running back, and he also had Priest Holmes.
Holmes wasn't really a contributor.
Who was
his receivers?
Like
Jermaine
Stokely
Lewis,
and Jermaine Lewis. But the most important thing with what Will just said was the running back. That team was predicated on running the ball. Randall Cunningham was the only one. Period. The only offensive threat on that team. He couldn't hand the ball to who's going to hand the ball to?
Can I mention that I want Randall goes to the Hall of Fame? Seriously, I just was trying to play devil's advocate.
Of course.
But what I'm saying is, he had opportunities in my opinion, but I still think he was a unique player.
Yeah.
I think
he was before his time.
Yeah. If it was for Randall Cunningham, we wouldn't have Michael Vick wouldn't be a 99 on Madden on speed.
Right.
You know what I mean?
See, some players go to the Hall of Fame, and some people, mm-hmm. I should say, look at John Madden because of how unique they are.
Yeah.
Not because he's a coach. I understand color commentary is a different category, mm-hmm. but Randall was the only person like that. I mean, they try to compare Jim Zorn's playing career to Randall's because he could scramble, which was garbage. And Sammy Ball, too. Mm-hmm. And Baby Boomers, I'm sorry. Sammy Ball, back then, I mean, hey, we didn't see it. I'm going with Randall. Randall, to me, should be in the Hall of Fame. But the next question that was thrown out on Twitter was, why do people judge a quarterback's Hall of Fame worthiness on Super Bowls? Which was the Kurt Warner comparison. Kurt Warner won a Super Bowl. He took the Arizona Cardinals. Anybody who took the Arizona Cardinals to the Super Bowl should be considered for the Hall of Fame. Yeah. I don't care what you say.
But Lee Rice on Twitter, Lee Rice 22 on Twitter said, I would say the Super Bowl is considered winning at the highest level, and the best need to be winners, it's a flawed logic.
All right.
It's a flawed logic.
Yeah, I don't know if I
just
got
like
all
your
that.
Statement was flawed. All the stuttering.
I know. Hey, tripping over your tongue. I know, sir. I apologize.
Hey, it's all good, though,
it's
man.
All good. We're not perfect yet.
Super Bowl is
you hurt my feelings.
Super Bowl is it's a huge accomplishment on your resume. You can't knock that. But like the greatness of Dan Marino, which we'll get to, he got to the Hall of Fame because he was a great quarterback, yeah. Not based on his numbers. But I heard earlier on the radio, Mark Rippon, Doug Williams, quarterbacks here, Joe Theismann, aren't in the Hall of Fame. They have Super Bowls. So it's not always based on that.
Yeah, it's not. And it shouldn't be. You're not. It's hard. I think it's unfair to be subjected. I mean, it's unfair to be not included because you don't have a ring or whatnot. I think that, you know, this. You can't control what in terms of organizations, where you're going to land or who or what they're going to do around you. You can only do what you can do with the best of in terms of the talent pool you have on your team, you know. And Dan Marino had to be that individual, the whole front of the Miami Dolphins. And there really wasn't any talent around him. And the same applies for Randall, in my opinion.
Yeah, Dallas Cowboy Blue, he said you need to ask Dan Marino about all those stats in new Super Bowl that he's in the Hall of Fame. So that was a valid point. Are we in consensus that Randall should be a Hall of Famer here?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're biased because you're an Eagles fan. You're biased because you're a Randall fan.
But the numbers speak volume to me, though.
Well, even though us three think that Randall should be a Hall of Fame quarterback, one of our another panelist on our show, Jeffrey Fish Walters, doesn't think that Randall should be a Hall of Fame kind of quarterback. Right. Actually, let me get my email. He emailed me earlier. His exact comments were, hell no, Randall Cunningham should not be
a
Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, that was his email, too, matter of fact.
And he based that on the numbers.
Yeah, he based numbers. It, I mean.
What you're basing your
opinion. Yeah, exactly.
Opinion.
It's wild, but he has Troy Aikman. But he realized that Troy Aikman should be in a Hall.
We're going to get there. We're going to get
there.
That's a funny
dude.
Down,
that's a funny guy. He's a hell of a guy.
Anyway, with that being said, we're going to take another commercial break. When we come back, we're going to continue this discussion. We're going to also transition to Place Your Bet in the NFL. Hall of Fame, Aikman, Young, Brett Favre. We'll hit you out when we come back.
I'm a champion. Realize Shaq's mechanism.
Hi, Shaquille O'Neal for Rad. This is not your normal PSA. Don't be stupid. Don't drink and drive. If you're going to go out and have a good time, it's fine. But designate a driver to drive home. Let's stop the madness. Don't drink and drive.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
I'm not afraid.
Yeah. It's been a ride.
Everybody,
I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now some of you might still be in that place.
This is the Urban Sports Scene. Welcome back.
Just trying to get out.
And it's time for Place Your Bet. Wally versus Will T. I'm not going to be involved. Again, I'm judging. Will T is the champ. Wally is the champ. It's Place Your Bet.
Okay.
It's the same daggone thing.
All right, you know, titles and whatnot. Let's go.
All right, well, it is what it is. I mean, what do you want to call it? You just got to worry about winning, though.
I know. That's all I care about right now.
All right, here we go.
Just don't make it Isaiah
Thomas.
Here
we go. Here we go. And please don't mention stats if you don't know it.
Stat boy.
Thank you.
Gotcha. Let's go. Let's get it on.
All right.
Let's
here
get
we
it
go.
On. Stop playing. Let's go.
This past weekend was the Hall of Fame game, Bengals Cowboys. It was the highest rated preseason game in 6 years. Place your bet. Is the preseason becoming more relevant with people fantasy scouting? Or was it just because it was the first football game in a long time?
It's the first football game in a long time. To me, the ratings that this game did goes to show that there does not need to be goes to show that there doesn't need to be a work stoppage. This goes to show that people there's a real want for NFL football, whether it's preseason or whether it's regular season. So everyone making the statement that the fans don't want preseason games, they should go to an enhanced season. What I don't know what the hell an enhanced season is by adding two more games to the regular season. It's stupid to me. But I think that this goes to show that people love NFL football. And
I think the reason why the ratings was high was because of Ocho Cinco and Terrell Owens. That's the reason.
What are you placing your bet on?
I'm placing my bet that it's not because of the popularity of football. I'm placing my bet on the popularity of Ocho Cinco and Terrell Owens.
Let him go with it.
Yeah. You said it's the reason. You said, is it because the football?
No, well, I was just throwing it out there as thoughts. I was just want to know if it was relevant again.
Neither well, not because, gave me that it's reason. Not because it's because Ocho Cinco and Terrell Owens. It's
not because of the Cowboys?
No, it's because Ocho Cinco and Ocho, they went the first time you could see Ocho Cinco and Terrell Owens together. You see the TV show, you see them on their separate shows, you get to see them together. They are entertaining. They're made for TV. Get your popcorn ready, cuz.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Wally got that wrong, even though people watch it for Emmitt, the Cowboys, Tony Romo, Miles Austin, that beautiful smile of his, though. So, I'm going with Wally for that first round. Chime in on Twitter. All right, Cowboy fans, listen up. And if y'all don't respond about this on Twitter or Facebook, that means y'all not listening to the whole show, and that's going to piss me off, though. But anyway, does Randall Cunningham deserve to be in the Hall of Fame over Troy Aikman? Place your bet.
Absolutely, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame over Troy Aikman. Let's look at the stats. Troy Aikman, Randall Cunningham has almost 2-to-1 interception, touchdown to interception ratio. Randall Cunningham is the all-time leading rusher at the quarterback position.
Sure.
Randall Cunningham is a 2-time NFL MVP.
Taking my stats is good. Keep going.
I'm not taking your stats, man. This is common knowledge. It's out there on the net.
What's his rating?
His rating is an 81.6.
0.5. We still good, though.
I'm an Eagles fan. I know these things.
See, you messing up. You giving that man this round, though. Are you done, though?
Yeah, I'm done.
He got it.
Wow. Okay, tap out.
He got it. I can't go against Randall.
My mic needs Viagra.
No, I can't go against Randall. Randall deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. That's all I'm going to say. He made valid points. We on the same side with this one. I'm not going to go for a Cowboy.
All right, y'all, keep in count. It's 1-1. Again, you can chime in on Facebook, Twitter, and that email address, change.da.game6@gmail.com. Nobody ever sends anything there. I don't know why.
Saying
it.
Shoot.
We get a lot of Viagra stuff.
Uh-huh. Or somebody might be illiterate. Spam.
And then we get all those 409 Nigerian scam emails.
Yeah, 409
cousins. Yeah, that Wally Cousins serious send us.
4-1.
419.
Your Bank of America account is in serious jeopardy, even if you don't have a Bank of America account.
Hey, man.
Anyway, change.da.game6@gmail.com. That's our email address.
Nightline.
Please email us. We want more emails. Facebook and Twitter, though. We love what y'all doing out there. Keep it coming. Okay, here we go. Next subject. Place your bet. Once Brett Favre goes to the Hall of Fame, who will be more overrated, Favre or Young? Place your bet.
Who will be more overrated? I will have to go with Favre on that one. Brett Favre is the all-time leader in touchdowns, but he's also the all-time leader in interceptions. Brett Favre has only won one Super Bowl, even though I know that Steve Young has only won one Super Bowl. Brett Favre is a 3-time MVP. I think one of those years, Barry Sanders should have won
shared,
it outright.
They shared it,
but Barry Sanders should have won it outright.
Mm-hmm.
It was just media bias.
So who did you say is more overrated?
Brett Favre
is, even though he has 3 MVPs? Interesting. Go ahead, Wally.
I think Steve Young is the most overrated individual between the two. Steve Young has been the situation. He's been blessed with great talent. He's had Brett Jones. He's had Jerry Rice. And Brett Favre has had with Robert Brooks. He had Sterling Sharp was in the end point of his career when he's about to retire. So Brett Favre had his successful run with not so great talent. Dorsey Levins and
Say not so great talent. Sterling Sharp at one point.
No, Sterling Sharp was when Brett Favre became Brett Favre. Sterling Sharp was out of the picture. He wasn't his Super Bowl run or his MVP run. Steve Young has been in a situation where basically anybody in his position before him and after him has been successful or played well. Joe Montana. Even Steve Bono looked good. Elvis Gerbach looked good in his offense. Everybody looks good. Even Jeff Garcia looks good in his offense.
Right.
Everybody looks good in his offense.
Oh, yeah. Woo! Will T, you almost losing, baby. It's 2-1 Wally. I'm going Wally on that one. Let's stick with this same discussion. Place your bet. Who had the most pressure relieving a superstar or replacing a legend, I should say? Steve Young or Aaron Rodgers? Place your bet.
Who had
the most pressure replacing a superstar? Steve Young, because Steve Young replaced Montana, and Aaron Rodgers replaced the great Brett Favre.
That's a good one.
I'll have to go with Steve Young. Steve Young had more pressure just because of the supporting cast he had. Wally alluded to it. Jerry Rice, Brent Jones, Ricky Waters. They had a very good defense at that time, and even when Steve won the Super Bowl, everyone said he finally got the monkey off his back. So Steve Young took over. For a winning team that was primed to win the Super Bowl.
Aaron Rodgers, and for this reason only, because the season before, Brett Favre with a team, even the year before that, he took this team that didn't do well the season before with Brett Favre, he took that same team to the NFC Championship game, and Aaron Rodgers had to match that. There was a lot of pressure with the same team. That's a lot of pressure. Plus, you're going against with an icon who's a three-time MVP, who's been to a Super Bowl, and you already have pressure because of a general manager who's feuding with this individual to pretty much duplicate the same kind of success.
But you're also forgetting that Packers team that Aaron Rodgers took over was also a young team. So if they regressed, you wouldn't hear a huge uproar in Green Bay, but with Steve Young, team that he took over was Super Bowl ready.
But with that young team, you're right, they still got to the NFC Championship game. And Aaron Rodgers, the year after that, didn't get to the playoffs. So, and it hit a lot of pressure going with that from that point on and after.
I'm going to go with Will T on that round. Steve Young came into a situation where Joe Montana won, what, 4 rings?
That's true.
And Brett Favre won 1. The offensive line in Green Bay was...
You know I don't like Brett Favre, man. I was trying.
The offensive line, the offensive line was terrible. And also, Brett Favre, they had Don Mikowski, the magic man, before that. So, Brett Favre, they had some good quarterbacks. Before Joe Montana, it wasn't much going on.
I don't like either, so it doesn't even
matter. So, it's 2-2. Here we go. I'm going to say, here we is. Here it is. Here we go. Whatever. This is the final deciding thing. This is the final deciding topic right here. 2-2. Will T, your title's on the line.
Sweet science, man. Let's go.
Best running back in the Hall of Fame. Emmitt or Barry? Place your bet.
Oh, this is terrible.
This is tough. But I'm going to take the tougher argument because I know that Wally thinks it's Barry Sanders. But I'm going to go with Emmitt Smith.
Based on
this. Emmitt Smith is the NFL's all-time leading rusher. Emmitt Smith didn't have the greatest skill set like you think of other running backs. When you think of Emmitt Smith, you don't think of Emmitt Smith doing one thing great. When you think of a guy like Jim Brown, you think power. When you think of Barry Sanders, you think elusiveness. When you think of Gale Sayers, you think of speed. Emmitt Smith put that all together. He put it all together, and he did it for 11 straight seasons. The guy ran for at least 1,000 yards. Emmitt Smith was also the cog that made the Dallas Cowboys Super Bowl teams go.
Your time, your hour is up, my gosh.
You try hard, man. You're a man, though.
He's the wild. He just Linux.
I know. He tried hard.
Jabbing. I'm looking for the knockout punch. All right.
The difference between Emmitt Smith and Barry, we'll just make it quick and simple and easy. Emmitt Smith he didn't get to see 8-man fronts on the regular. Barry Sanders did. Barry Sanders had no quarterback. He had nothing.
Sanders played with some good wide receivers.
Herman Moore, but with quarterback. He saw a consistent 8 or more in the box. Emmitt did not. Emmitt had probably pretty much would see a 6 or whatever. So pretty much on that regard,
it was
no
6. I wouldn't say 6.
No, no, I'm telling you.
Best offensive line.
That's obvious. Offensive line is obvious. That's just obvious. But he had Michael Irvin and Aikman pretty much. So he wouldn't have teams were pretty much already intimidated with those talents alone.
Exactly. I'm going Wally. Wally has taken your crown, dog. Now, I do have a wild card question, though.
Thanks for
and
giving
this,
that
this
one,
goes
the
back.
The sun shines on the dog's ass.
It's clean. That's a clean comment.
If your family's around, you got kids, turn the radio off now. The Urban Sports Scene is about to end soon. But anyway, I got a wild card question. Will T, it's official. Wally, he got that. But I got one last question. Place your bet. Fantasia, I told y'all earlier about her whole overdose thing. If you was with her when she overdosed, would you have tried the bone or would you have took her to the hospital?
Since Wally's a chef, I'm going to let Wally stop.
I'll take her to the hospital, man. I'm a good person. I'll take her to the hospital,
right, praise
man.
God. I shouldn't even ask that.
Yeah, you shouldn't have.
Y'all smiling, though. People can't see it, though.
You should be happy somebody else was
here. I would have took her to the hospital.
You should be happy somebody else wasn't here today because you would have got an X-rated answer.
All right, first, tweet your answer if you know how to tweet. So
I would have took her to the hospital.
Why you smiling like that?
Don't be asking fish to tweet. You know it's gonna take forever.
Would you have felt there like what's wrong? You know what I'm saying?
I would have checked her vitals first and then took her to the hospital. But you know,
I don't know, man. Her drug voice probably sounds like her singing voice.
Sick. Will.
Damn.
This goes out.
Who can't read?
Anyway, that wraps up another edition of Urban Sports Scene. Fish, we look forward to having you back next week. But you didn't miss out. It was hot as hell in here today.
As
Peace,
usual.
Peace, baby. We out.
They don't know what they doing. They don't do it like we. Like a G, I hold it down for the town.